Radio Shema Podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm really glad to be with you today. I always consider it such an honor and a privilege to be able to share this time with you. You honor me by spending your valuable time listening to this program, and I really do appreciate it. Today, I want to share with you about the topic of real faith. We all have a basic faith. We have a faith that the chair will hold us when we sit down. We all have faith that there will be air to breathe, and we have a basic faith for a lot of other things in our lives. Life would be very scary if we did not have at least that level of faith. Today I want to talk to you about our spiritual faith. The Bible tells us that we all have a level of spiritual faith. The challenge is that we have the freedom to choose where we will put our spiritual faith. God gives us that faith so we will be able to trust Him. Unfortunately, there are many people in the world that apply their faith to the wrong things. That ends up with a lot of people putting their faith into false religions. Not long ago, a night worker at a store that makes photocopies was arrested for producing tens of thousands of dollars in counterfeit money on the sophisticated color copiers in his shop. It seems that crime is rapidly increasing as the quality of copy machines improves. Treasury officials are facing a significant increase in such counterfeiting efforts. What used to take a skilled engraver and advanced printing equipment now can be done on a color copy machine. It is still true, though, that no matter how good the technology is, a copy of real money is still counterfeit. It only has value if people are deceived into thinking that it is real. That's a really good spiritual analogy also. It is important to realize that there is such a thing as counterfeit faith as well. Fake faith is manifested in a lot of different ways, but the end result is still the same. It results in men and women who miss the fullness, the joy, and satisfaction that comes from a real, authentic relationship with the living God. In the beginning of the 10th chapter of Romans, Paul is expressing his urgent desire that people would come to faith in Christ. But instead of turning to Christ, Paul says they have substituted a different faith, a counterfeit righteousness that falls short of God's desire for them. Let's look at what it says in Romans 10:5 through 15. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. Whoever does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. In order to help us see the difference between counterfeit faith and authentic faith, Paul gives us several characteristics of genuine faith. The question is, how do we recognize if we have this real faith Paul is talking about? Paul quotes from Leviticus 18:5, in which the Lord, through Moses, tells his people to obey his laws. That is one kind of righteousness, Paul says, but the focus of that kind of faith is focused on external behavior. As the entire gospel makes clear, men and women have proven that we are incapable of fully satisfying that kind of righteousness. Romans 3:23 reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The only righteousness that is authentic is one that is not only expressed by your mouth or by your external behavior. Real faith is the one that is in your heart. Real faith requires an internal transformation. And that is precisely what Christ offers us. He offers to come into our hearts and transform us into new creations. Paul reminds us that it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. He is talking about an act of the will, a commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord. And yet, it is an action that is only possible by the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. Imagine for a moment that I come home one day carrying a pet pig. I dress that pig up in beautiful silk and satin. I dab some perfume behind its ear. I set him down in a library full of books and declare, "Look at what a lovely, sophisticated pig I have created." But the minute the door opens and that pig spies a mud puddle, he's out like a flash and wallowing in the mud. No matter how much I dress up that pig or how I make it look, it is still a pig. Nothing has changed his essential character or nature. No matter what you and I attempt to do in our own efforts, real faith can only be created by God's grace working in our lives, producing an inner transformation. We can dress up and go to our holy place. We can pray several times a day. We can even give to the poor. But it is all just false religion unless you have faith in a personal relationship with God through our one and only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Only God is able to renew our minds. Only God is able to transform us. We can do all sorts of religious things, but if we do not have a personal relationship and faith in God, then you are not accomplishing anything at all. God will perform the internal transformation, but He won't force Himself into your life. He will wait until we step out with the faith He has given us that allows Him to do a great work in our lives. Faith is also demonstrated through our public profession that we have accepted Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. Once the inner transformation has begun in our lives, the inevitable result is a desire to declare what God has done in us. We need to notice a couple of things that Romans 10:9 and 10 tell us about this confession. The first thing is that we must confess that Jesus is our Lord. The word Lord simply means Master. If we confess that Jesus is our Lord, we are saying that we have asked Him to be the Master of our life. That is just a logical thing to do when we realize that He is sustaining all things by His powerful word, like it says in Hebrews 1:3. When we confess Jesus is Lord, we are saying that Jesus is Lord of our very lives. This takes on a very personal dimension. It is one thing to acknowledge that Christ is Lord over creation. It is quite another thing to humble ourselves to the point that we let Jesus take over the control of our own lives. We are not practicing authentic faith if we do not allow Christ to be the master of every bit of our lives. Someone once said that if Jesus is not Lord of all of our life, then He isn't Lord at all. It is also important to realize that authentic, genuine faith is not secret faith. When Christ becomes Lord of our lives, there is an inevitable desire to share that good news with others. In the early church, the very act of baptism was a public profession of their newfound faith in Christ, and that is still true today. When we talk about public profession, we mean more than simply repeating the confession before the members of a church. The confession people see through our behavior is equally important. People should see the love of God working in your life. They should see your faith in action. Too many have made that confession, but then basically denied that confession by the way they live their lives. Fortunately, God has given us everything we need to successfully live a Christian life. He has given us the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22 and 23, which says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I encourage and even challenge each one of us to allow the Holy Spirit to flow in our lives so we are able to show the world what genuine faith in Jesus Christ really looks like. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you are encouraged to show Jesus Christ to the world through the way you love Him with your life. I hope you will invite someone to listen with you next time. In the meantime, God bless you and have a great day.